Hello, my name is Jonathan. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from pornography addiction, control, and not trusting God. Let me pray real quick. Lord, thank you for this time, and just thank you for allowing everyone to be here today. Lord, just thank you for everyone being here, Lord, and just let this be a time of worship, a special time, Lord. In your name I pray, amen. I grew up in a small town in East Texas with great parents who never once made me doubt their love, if you can't tell from my voice. My younger brother was known as the troublemaker, and I was the good kid. This was the birth of my control and pride issues, as I would eventually begin to twist the truth in order to keep my image up to everyone around me. I remember learning about the solar system in elementary school. I was just amazed at how God created all of it and how he sent his son Jesus to die for my sins. I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior during my third grade Sunday school class. I played football in middle school, and at practice, we'd pass time by telling jokes. I searched for new jokes on this new thing called the internet, but I stumbled across pornography instead. I had never seen anything like it, and an addiction was born. I was too afraid to confess my discovery to anyone because I knew it was wrong. My brother always had girlfriends, but I never did, and I wondered what it was like to be wanted. So I fabricated it in my mind with girls on a screen. It was this hidden compartment of my life that I didn't think about while going to youth group and learning about God. I felt led to become a youth minister, and I decided to attend a small college to work towards a career in ministry. I faced college the same way I tackled high school, goofing off with friends and expending minimum effort. My poor study habits caught up with me, and I failed all but one of my classes with a total GPA below one. I was devastated. I felt like the Lord had led me to the school, so I was determined to do better next semester. I studied hard, completed my work, and passed my past tests. This semester is when I met my first girlfriend. I was excited to be wanted, and our fast-paced emotional relationship turned into a physical relationship. I would bargain with God, saying, "Well, we aren't going all the way, so this should be fine." Proverbs 16:9 says, "The heart of a man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps." I knew what we were doing was wrong, but I ignored God, and I tried to control my life by creating my own standards by which to live. I had to raise my GPA to a 2.0 to get off academic probation. Despite all my hard work, I only raised it to a 1.998. I was distraught. The word failure flashed in my mind over and over again. I felt so embarrassed and ashamed. I hated myself. I began to harbor bitterness towards God. This started a very dark time in my life where I removed myself from church. I had very few friends, and I isolated myself from loved ones. To make matters worse, my relationship with my girlfriend was destructive and was based on the physical aspect. I had suicidal thoughts, never acted on them, but I didn't value my life. Through this difficult time, pornography was my comfort. I sought it out daily to try and feel more like a man and less like a failure. I would have never admitted it to myself back then, but I was imprisoned by my secret sexual sin. After flunking out, I went to junior college, worked odd jobs, and lived with my parents. My girlfriend and I ended our toxic relationship, and I could feel a weight lifted from me. Without it clouding my mind, my perspective on life slowly started to change. I wasn't sure that I was qualified for ministry anymore, but after some encouragement from friends and family, I took the dive and went to a small Bible college in Dallas. Although surrounded by theological studies and spiritual conversations, I felt like a fraud. Since I was living alone in an apartment, my addiction to porn grew deeper. For 2 to 3 years after graduation, I sent out tons of resumes and interviewed some, but was never offered a permanent position in ministry. With a degree in biblical studies and being an ordained minister, I didn't understand why, and I became angry at God. I resented him, and my lack of trust in him and his plan for me was detrimental to my relationship with him. I occasionally came to Watermark for church to check the box, but I didn't want to create close relationships. I carried shame from my past relationship, shame from failing college, shame from my inability to find a job in ministry, and shame from my addiction to pornography. So I fled from anything that might make me face those realities. I wasn't interested in genuine community because I wanted to control the perception that others had of me. After all, it's what I'd done my whole life. Yet during this time, I met my wife. She was sweet and made me laugh easy, and by some miracle, she really liked me. I wanted to spend the rest of my life with her, but knew she deserved more than a husband addicted to porn. I was too afraid to share my sin with anyone, so I tried to conquer it on my own. I set up a blocker on my computer, and for the password, I just slammed my hands on the keyboard and saved that as the password. I proposed to Audrey, and I felt like things would be better. But when the temptation was overwhelming, I just uninstalled the blocker since I didn't know the password. I had somewhat managed my porn habit to where I could wait and view about every 4 days. We got married on January 4th, 2014. Marriage was good, but something was missing in those first months. I was afraid for her to know my full self, so I was distant and I hid the worst part of me, which meant creating a chasm between us. One day, she discovered my secret and was deeply hurt. The next few weeks were like a black hole. Answering her questions truthfully felt like I was plunging a dagger into her heart. So I began to lie in order to shield and protect, or in reality, manipulate her perception of me. Little lies started surfacing over the next few months. They were like ropes strangling the life out of our marriage. She was realizing that her husband had crafted lies to hide the truth from her. And one day, in the middle of a conversation that uncovered yet another lie, she grabbed the keys and left the apartment betrayed and broken. I wasn't sure if she was going to come back or not. Terrified of what I'd done, I called a close friend and confessed my sins to him. It was the first time to ever tell anyone my dark secret. Light had been shed on the darkest part of my life, and it was finally exposed for what it truly is, a destructive sin that only causes pain. I didn't want my addiction to hurt the ones I love, but I wasn't sure how to even begin making the change stick for good. Audrey did come back, and she helped me in my time of need. Proverbs 31:10-11 says, an excellent wife who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. Audrey saw my willingness to turn from my habitual sin and worked with me in my repentance of my former lifestyle. In those first few weeks, even though the temptations remained, God filled me with an intense desire to be the leader of our marriage that I had never been before. I gave up my computer, and Audrey set up blocks on my phone. We got rid of at least 100 DVDs that had nudity or sexual content. We began praying together and reading scripture together. We wanted to get back into church, and I'd heard about Regen from the few times I visited Watermark. At first, I was hesitant. Regen is during Monday Night Football. Doesn't the church offer something else? How can the Cowboys have a good season without me watching all those Monday Night games? As much as I loved and at times idolized football, I knew my marriage took priority over these things. The Cowboys would have to do without my scouting services. We took the dive and we went to Regen. Our first night here, we were fighting about something. I don't remember what, but after we listened to the speaker, we both knew we were in the right place for recovery from all of our brokenness. I grew up in the church, but where I'm from, hearing the word porn in church would have made the congregation blush and furrow their eyebrows in shock and judgment. If I were to share the deepest, darkest parts of my life there, I would embarrass my family, and my secret would spread throughout the city like wildfire, maybe even embellished by additional rumors and gossip. It was under those expectations that I walked into Regen. I was terrified that I'd run into somebody I knew. But when I experienced the acceptance and understanding of fellow believers and non-believers alike on my first night here, my life truly began to change. During groundwork, I began to understand just how much God loved me and how his grace is greater than my shame. For the newbies out here, I'll tell you that step four is typically the most talked about step because it requires you to dig deep and expend a lot of effort and emotion to recount things from your past and present. But it was this step that I actually enjoyed the most, and that it truly opened my eyes to the root of my sin. Don't get me wrong, it was really difficult to put words to some of the things I had done. It made them more real and more awful. But it was also like a deep sigh of relief to finally get it out of my mind and onto paper. It was through this process that I understood I had been using porn as a coping mechanism to make myself feel better about my circumstances. When I was bitter about my place in life, or if I felt like God should put me in a better job, when I was stagnant and nothing in my life was going as expected, pornography hypnotized me and made me feel powerful and in control. Instead of submitting myself to the kingdom of God, I was living in the kingdom of Jonathan, living to please and indulge myself. On the outside, I looked like a good person who pretty much had it all together. The reality was that inside, I was angry and manipulative. I was convinced that as long as the perception of Jonathan by others was positive, I was in the clear to continue my wicked ways in the dark. I began to understand that the existence of porn in my life was driving a wedge between my wife and me and also pushing me further from Christ. In another layer of discovery about myself, I realized my tendency to make my wife and others feel bad for their success because of my self-pity. When my wife landed a great job, I told her something to the effect of, "Congratulations, too bad I'm too stupid to get any type of good job." Negative thoughts about myself played on a loop in my mind. I would constantly tear down and berate myself, so much so that by the end of the day, I thought the only thing that would make me feel a little bit better was porn. Then instead of feeling better, I felt empty and distant from God. It was a cycle of self-pity and self-indulgence that was essentially self-worship. I sought ways to soothe and tolerate myself rather than seeking the one who could repair my self-image and heal my broken soul by readjusting my sights on him. During the time I spent in Regen, I could see changes happening in my life. I felt closer to my wife, and more importantly, I started to feel closer to God. For the first time in a long time, I sought out his presence in my life again, and I could feel the difference. Every day when I'd opened my book, it was like a breath of fresh air to read, "God loves you." I knew God loved me, but I was closed off from accepting it because I felt like a failure and a fraud. As I worked through the steps, brick by brick, my kingdom would be destroyed. I lived pornography free for almost a year up until step 12. During step 12, I was at my parents' house and I made the mistake of being alone with their computer on. I sat down at the computer and old habits emerged. Angry at the situation, I closed the computer after just a few seconds, left the house, immediately called my mentor and confessed. I prayed and asked for forgiveness, and then I confessed the incident to my wife the following Monday night, and she extended grace. I was forgiven. It was a reminder of the hurt that brought us to Regen. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." Giving in to my temptation tugged at the stitches of our healing wounds, but this time we were on the same page in total honesty as a united front against the struggle. I completed the Regen program in July of 2015. I learned with each lesson, conversation, and prayer that the sin does not define the sinner. My addiction is not my identity. I'm a precious, loved child of God, and he purposefully reached into my dirty life to bring me back to him because he values and delights in me, just as he values and delights in you. When my negative tapes start up again, I try to lean on Zephaniah 3:17. "For the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. With his love, he will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs. He rejoices over me, the guy who flunked out of college, the porn addict. Scripture tells me that I am fearfully and wonderfully made in his image. Scripture also tells me that God can use me and my brokenness for ministry to further his kingdom. Life after Regen is certainly much different. My marriage, my role in community, and my walk with Christ have all become much stronger. Before, I lacked true intimacy in marriage, so there always seemed to be some distance between us. I didn't feel worthy of being loved, so I didn't allow someone to fully know me. Now we share even the most difficult details of our sin struggles and strive to be honest and open. Now, instead of turning my wife's successes into a self-pity party, we celebrate her success as if they happened to us as one. We have a sense of togetherness that we didn't have in our first 6 months of marriage. Before Regen, I was a master of isolation. I stayed in my room for long periods of time, and I fled from the idea of community. Today, community is a significant part of my life. Me and my wife have been incredibly blessed by our foundation group. We share issues, we ask for accountability, we give and receive support and encouragement, we let others help carry our burdens, and we help carry theirs. We're constantly learning how to grow closer to Christ together. Hey guys. Before Regen, I was hesitant to spend my free time attending church services or serving in the church. Time is a hot commodity in the kingdom of Jonathan, so I was selfish and controlling about my hours outside of work. I wanted free rein to do what I wanted to do. Now I actually look forward to coming to church, whether if it's a men's Bible study or serving Monday nights in Regen. This is my first time leading a closed group of men through the 12 steps as they seek to become godly men, and I've enjoyed them, and I've been blessed by this just awesome, humbling experience. My prayer life has immensely changed. I used to think that my prayers would never go past the ceiling. Now I have faith that God cares and that his love for me is strong. I understand that no matter what my job is or where I am in this world, I'm not defined by where I'm working or what I'm doing. I'm a missionary in the workplace, and my goal is to be kind to others, to care for them, and most importantly, to show and share the love of Christ with my coworkers. I was headed down a path of brokenness and hurt, but I'm so thankful for the work that Christ is doing in my life. Because of the human separation from Christ and the depravity of man, my sin struggles will always exist, but I seek help from God daily to make my actions and words reflect my heart. I'm committed to pray during times of temptation and to draw on his strength to overcome it. Instead of feeling like I'm not qualified for ministry, I don't question God's ability to use anyone for his kingdom. Instead of manipulating a situation or a conversation to ensure that others see the best version of me, I trust God with my reputation and the results of my honesty. Instead of being intensely ashamed of my past, I'm joyful to share my story of God's grace and love with you. Thank you.